This morning we have already heard a reading from Genesis 12 and also Psalm 2. You may find the next few minutes easier to follow if you actually have your Bibles open and in front of you at Psalm 2. So that was on page 543, Psalm 2. But I'm not going to start there. Let me remind you what we've had over the last 3 or 4 weeks. We've been looking at these promises, these blessings, and we're going to wrap that up this morning. We've considered that God blesses us by meeting our needs, and because He is generous to us, we can be generous to other people. We have considered that God blesses us by opening the windows of heaven and pouring out upon us far more than we need and far more than we ever dare ask or imagine. And we've also considered last week that God blesses us through the tough times as well as the good times. He meets our needs, He opens the windows of heaven, and He doesn't promise that He will get us out of the tough times, but He does promise that He will get us through the tough times. Last week, when Paul was speaking, someone suggested that in a desert you just plod. And Paul said, if we are plodding, we are at least moving forward. So even if you feel you are just in a desert and a difficult and tough place, keep plodding, keep moving. And today we're particularly going to say and look at the fact that God blesses us because He promised that He would. In that first reading in Genesis 12, God said to Abraham, leave everything, take your family, take your possessions and go. And Abraham obeyed. He perhaps didn't know where he was going, why he was going, where he would end up. But he heard God and he did what he was told. And God blessed him. And the way was not always smooth for Abraham, and Abraham made mistakes. But God remained faithful. And God had said, I'm going to bless you. And through you, everyone's going to get a blessing. And Abraham went and obeyed, and God remained faithful. And through Abraham, all of us, you and me, have been blessed, but perhaps particularly through Jesus. Jesus was Abraham's descendant, but was also God and was with God right from creation. So, we make mistakes, but God blesses us anyway. Abraham made mistakes, but God went on blessing him anyway. Last week it was suggested that blessing meant being infused with holiness, getting filled up with something good from God. Do we feel infused and filled up with something good from God? Never? Occasionally? Sometimes? Often, always. Robert Browning wrote a poem, and he wrote about Pippa, a silk-winder girl working in a Victorian mill, a really tough life. But on her day off, she went round the area singing, and she had no idea of the effect that her song and her singing would give. But it touched the lives of all those people who heard it, so that the drunk sobered up, the gambler went home, the violent person calmed down. And there is one line from the song which perhaps you've heard quoted at times, now you'll know where it comes from. She sang, God's in His heaven, all's right with the world. You might agree with the first part, God's in His heaven, but have a bit of doubt about that second part, all's right with the world. Perhaps you think the old limerick sums it up better. God's world made a hopeful beginning. Man spoiled his chances by sinning. We trust that the story will end in God's glory. But at present, the other side's winning. I'm just reminded of a couple who got home from work, and one of them said to the other, "Shall we watch the 6 o'clock news and get indigestion? Or wait till 10 o'clock and get insomnia?" And the news can be a bit like that. It doesn't look as though all's right with the world. But if we have an attitude that says, actually, we believe that God's in control, and because God's in control, all will be right with the world. If you've seen the film The Best Exotic Marigold Hotel, you will remember this bit. If you haven't seen it, you really ought to. I think it's a super film. That may say more about me than anything else, but there's a young Indian there, and things keep going wrong, and he says, "It'll be all right in the end. And if it's not all right, then it's not the end. It'll be all right in the end. And if it isn't all right, then it isn't the end." Because God's in control. If we now look at this psalm, you really need to look at Psalm 1 and Psalm 2 together, because they form a sort of sandwich. At the beginning of Psalm 1, we read, "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked." And that psalm ends up, at the end of Psalm 1, "The way of the wicked will perish." So Psalm 1 starts off with "the blessed is the good," and "the wicked have got a problem." And then Psalm 2 puts it the other way round and says, "The wicked nations think they can ignore God and rebel against God, and they're going to have a problem." And it finishes up at the end of Psalm 2, "Blessed are all who take refuge in God." So there we are. We can be blessed because God's in control. Let me just pick out a few highlights from Psalm 2. I read somewhere that it's actually the most quoted psalm in the New Testament. It's certainly quoted a lot in the New Testament, and as it was read, you may have thought, "Oh yes, I've heard that elsewhere," and you probably have. It starts off by saying, these people try to ignore God. And just today, as then, nations fight, good people suffer, God's people get persecuted, God himself gets scorned or ignored, but verse 4 says quite clearly, God laughs enthroned in heaven and scoffs at them. He's not laughing because he's amused that things are going wrong, but he's laughing because he's saying, actually, you think you can just ignore me. And I'm sitting on my throne. I don't even have to stand up to get things done my way, in my time, in the end. And God will do that. He has the power to be in control. He has the love to pour out blessings upon us. And he sees the bigger picture. And his power is final and assured. And we can't outwit God or get round the back of God, because God wants all of us to come to him. Whether in fact everybody will come to him is a whole different sermon. But certainly Paul, writing to Timothy, says it is God's will that everyone should be saved. And the second letter of Peter says much the same thing. And so we are blessed because God has everything under control. And I think I was going to put a little bit up on the screen at that point. We are blessed because God has it under control. But if we move on from verse 4, we can move on to verse 7. This is an amazing verse. David, writing the psalm, says, God said to me, You are my son. Today I have become your father. And we get this father-child relationship between us and God. You and I are God's children now. We are part of God's family. Isn't that an amazing thing? And this father-son relationship, particularly, of course, it was very special for Jesus, who was both God and man. Yes, a descendant of Abraham, but also with God from the beginning of creation. We can't possibly unpack and fully understand that, but we can say this Jesus, who was God and man, said to his followers, when you pray to God, say, Our Father. He invites his followers to enter into this family, this father-child relationship with God, and we are God's children, just as it says there in verse 7. And then he goes on in verse 8, Ask of me, and I will make nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. Isn't that an amazing promise that God has promised to bless us so much? He says, Ask and it's yours. God will give abundantly, more than ever we dare ask or think we can receive or imagine that we can get. And God says, You can have it all. It's all yours. All you have to do is come to me. Ask me as your father, and you can have everything. And then, as we move on to verse 12, kiss the son lest he be angry. I suppose we wouldn't say it quite like that nowadays. We'd probably say something like, make sure you're in the right club. Be on the right side, because it's gonna get tough if you aren't on the same side as Jesus. So there we are. You see, we can't run away from God, but each of us can run to God. And as we run to God, He's not going to reject us. He's not going to say, Oh, I'm not interested in you. He loves each one of us. And there's nothing that we have done or can do that will make God love us any less. He will go on loving us and pouring out His blessings on us anyway. So we can't run from God, we can run to God. And we can't hide from God. If you like, we can't find a refuge from God. But what we can do is find our refuge in God. Earlier in the service, you saw various bits of promises of God from the Bible up on the screen. One of them was from Psalm 46. God is our refuge, a very present help in trouble. God is our refuge. He's always going to be there for us, and He will look after us. He will keep us safe. And those are many ways in which God blesses us. And He's promised that He will bless us. And so He does. God has promised to bless us. And He has the power to do so. I think that's a wow moment. Have you thought about that? There's a Negro spiritual that has a chorus that says, Our God, He done what He said He'd do. And God does do what He says He will do. He's promised, and He's got the power to keep His promises, and He is faithful and will keep His promises. And He promises that He will bless us and go on pouring out His goodness to us. When Paul was writing to the Christians in Corinth, if you want the quote, it's 2 Corinthians 1 verse 4, and he writes this, he says, Praise God who comforts us, so that we can comfort others. And I don't think it's stretching the Bible too far if we just substitute blessing there for comfort. Praise God who blesses us Why? So that we can bless others. How do we comfort others? How are we a blessing to others? Even in the hard times, we are blessed because God is with us and will get us through. And now it's our turn to decide, how are we going to go out into the world this week, into a world with all its violence, with all its troubles, with all those Brexit questions and people getting killed in knife crimes, and people in New Zealand grieving because some fanatic has gone on into a mosque with a semi-automatic rifle and started indiscriminately killing people. Despite all that, God will get us through. And you and I, we may think, well, we can't do those big things, but what we can do is be a blessing to each of the people whom we meet this week. When we meet people, whether it's having coffee at the back of the church at the end, or whether it's when we meet the postman tomorrow morning, or the person in the shop, or walking and bumping into someone in the high street, or whatever, can we just go out this week and say, Lord, how can I be a blessing to this person because you have blessed me so much? Let's go out and be a blessing to those we meet.